welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
Because He first loved us. Can you see that now? So, our loving God, with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our might, okay, it's actually a response to how much God loves us, and therefore now we are responding to Him back again. Since He loves us, now we are loving Him back. Amen. Just as if you are in a relationship with a person, and the person loves you, and the person has been showing different acts of love. After a while, what happens now? You start to respond by showing acts also of love. You understand? This is the second thing that He does under the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love. Under the first one. First, He makes us to feel how much God loves us. Makes us to know it, makes us to understand it, makes us to experience it. So that from that foundation, we can begin to love God. We have a reason to love God. You understand? People who backslide today, backslide tomorrow, is because they have not felt the love of God for them. If you know how much God loves you, you will know that if you want to live a life of sin, you are going to lose a lot. Okay? And because you can't afford to lose that much, you stay clean, you stay holy. More importantly, because you don't want to hurt God. Because you know, if you do that, you are going to hurt God, you will hurt His cause, you will hurt things that concern Him. And you know that that will grieve Him. And you will not be quick to grieve somebody that you love. Amen. Will you? You can't be quick to grieve somebody whom you love. We love Him because He first loved us. So the reason for us to respond to that command, okay, is because the Holy Spirit has shed abroad in our hearts the love of God for us. We have known it by observation and by experience that we are loved by God. Amen. The second point, okay, before I get there, the third one is that under love is love your neighbor as yourself. Honestly speaking, if you are somebody who has experienced God's love for himself and you are responding back in loving God, you will want the best for everybody. Are you getting it? Do you know why? You are not threatened by what they have. Since if you want the kind of thing they have, it's not that you have no access to the kind of thing they have. Okay? You can always and you can easily and you can simply ask your father and he will give you if really, really you want that thing. You get so you can't be envious because somebody has whatever it is that the person has. Okay? You can learn to begin to be happy for other people when good things happen to them. The reason why people are not happy for others when good things happen to them is simply because they feel that nothing good has happened to them. So why should they be happy for you? You understand? But if you know that you will fulfill your destiny because God loves you, and you understand that you're not in competition with anybody, okay, that is, you're not actually competing with anyone, then you are not threatened by anything. Amen. And if you're not threatened by anything, it's easy to love others too, to wish them well too. Amen. Somebody can buy a car now or build a house, then all of a sudden you are threatened. And you are wondering, since when has somebody been living in a face me, a face you house? Or a rented apartment? And then you are just sad. So when the person is giving testimony about his house, you are just not happy. No, you can't be doing that. Why? Because you know if you need a house, what do you just simply need to do? I was going to answer some of us who were saying, if God can just give me money and do this one, do that. Brethren, you can't have God and have money. You can only take one. Amen. For Jesus speaking, he said, nobody can serve two masters. It's either he loves one, he hates the other. Or he's devoted to one and he despises the other. Then he said, you cannot serve both God and money. Amen. All our needs are in God. Amen. All our needs are in who? If you need something, for instance, let's say your business is cement, that you are selling cement. Huh? This is an aside, but I just need to think because about two or three people said it. I wanted to answer them. Let's say your business is cement and you no longer have stock. Huh? How you should pray is this. Lord, the stock has finished. Lord, restock this shop or factory or whatever. Because why you say you want money for it is simply what? Is it not to restock? So God can choose to restock without giving you money, honestly. And God many times likes to do things to prove that he's not under the system of this world. He likes to do things and he will not collect money. Or he will bypass money. You understand? Amen. Since we've been having the retreat in the last 3 days, how many times did you collect offering? Huh? Is it not supposed to be costing something? Huh? It's supposed to be costly. So why? Is it not that when people appear before God, they should not come empty-handed? The scripture that we quote that from, contextually, what he's saying is that when you come once every 3 years, don't come empty-handed. And you too. If it's once every 3 years, so how will you come empty-handed once in 3 years? You understand? That's the context of that scripture. Offerings are collected as commanded, not as a routine. Amen. May God help us to understand in Jesus' name. We can put bills on God. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Okay? If you can't afford something, you can just simply ask him and trust him. Since he can afford everything, he will give you. And he won't give you a look or something that, you know, something that somebody else has used and is battered. That this is the best God can give. No. Okay? But when you're asking your questions, you can ask questions regarding that later. Okay? So that we don't waste time on that. So, loving your neighbor as yourself can only be possible if the first two has happened to you. If you have felt and you are feeling, you are experiencing God's love for you, and you are responding back in love to God, only then can you love somebody else, honestly speaking. It's only then. Because what makes people hate is because of the way their lives are. Amen. Some people don't like you. The reason is that maybe you have more clothes than them. You understand? And whenever they see you come out, they feel inferior. You understand? Now, the moment if they are able to have more clothes and all of that than you, and they are loved, because some other people have what we call superiority complex. If now has more clothes, you'll be looking for who to oppress. That I have more clothes. Are you getting it? That's another sickness. You know, there's no need. You see, it's not even right, and there's no need for you to compare yourself with anybody. Because we are not the same. I'm not better than you, you're not better than me. We are all just different. Amen. A white man is not better than me, he's not superior to me. I'm not better than him, I'm not superior to him. And I understand that, I know that. Amen. We are just different. For nobody has your thumbprint in the whole world. I'm different, I'm just different. Okay, so there's no basis for comparison. But you see, we married the same year. So what? Is your destiny the same? But we were born the same day. Even if you came out from the same womb, your lives are not the same. You compete only against one thing, not against people. You compete against time. What do you compete against? Because you don't have enough time. And if you keep wasting time, all what God has planned for your life, you will not fulfill it. You understand? So if you must compete, what should you compete against? To make sure that you redeem the time because the days are evil. Amen. I don't think I need to say much on this love your neighbor as yourself because it's clear. Another way of putting it is simply this. the way you want others to treat you, treat them the same way. That's all. That's what Jesus meant when he said, whatever things you want your neighbor, you want people to do to you, that's what you should do to them. And that's what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't want when you are going, people to be snickering at you and upturning their noses at you and mocking you, you don't do it. You don't want people to gossip your matter. You don't do what? You don't gossip about them. Simple. If you don't want people to wish you evil, when people are going, don't wish them that. Put a jazzy goat and say, don't say that. Because if you say that, somebody too will say that about you. You understand? So that's what it means to love. And these are things that the Holy Spirit works out in us. There are times when maybe you answer somebody harshly. And you start feeling in your heart that you have not done well. If you are listening properly to the Holy Spirit, he might even tell you to go and apologize. And you may not be wrong in that matter. But the issue is not whether you are wrong or whether you are right. The issue is, do you want to remain under his control? Okay? Because between the fight, in the fight between God and man, who was at fault? Who made the first gesture for peace? So why must you keep insisting, no, they must apologize to me, so that didn't pain me. What you have done to God in all your life, in all your years that you have lived, is it as much as what the person has done to you? The answer is no. Okay? So, in that same vein, we just simply do the right thing because that's the right thing. Even when we are right, even when you are correct, if we are looking at justice as justice is supposed to be, should Jesus be crucified? Was he not crucified? The people crucifying him, what was the prayer that he prayed to God about them? He still opened the way of salvation for them. May God help us in Jesus' name. The second one now, joy. Joy. When the Holy Spirit is in our lives, it will produce this. We will be joyful. Amen. So what then is joy? Joy is spiritual excitement. Joy is spiritual excitement based on the assurance of hope. Joy is spiritual excitement based on the assurance of hope. On the preciousness and certainty, on the preciousness and certainty of the great promises of the Lord Jesus to us believers, now to us as believers. Joy is spiritual excitement based on the assurance of hope, on the preciousness and certainty of the great promises of the Lord Jesus to us as believers. It is an inward happiness that is independent of outward circumstances. It is an inward happiness that is independent of outward circumstances. Amen. Have we gotten that? Because I want to start explaining. You've gotten that. It is also the emotional excitement. It is also the emotional excitement. Gladness. And delight over blessings received or expected, either for oneself or for others. Full stop. Praise the Lord. I said that joy is spiritual excitement based on the assurance of hope. What do we mean by that? On the preciousness and the certainty of the promises of God to us. Hope simply means expectation, is it not so? Huh? So when you are joyful, you are excited in your spirit, because of your expectation, or because of the assurance that your expectation on the precious and certain promises of God to you. Are you getting it now? Please, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying too many things. If you understand, raise your hand. Let me see. A very few people. Okay. Joy is not something you can hold. Do you notice that people's moods change based on circumstances? Some days you're very happy because some things are going your way. Some days you're not very happy because several things are not going your way. When the Holy Spirit works out joy in you, you become independent of circumstances. Your happiness or peace of mind, the thing that makes you excited, does not come from whether you got that job or that contract anymore. It doesn't come from even when circumstances are sad or one evil thing or bad thing has happened. I'm not saying, let's say something bad happens now, maybe somebody dies. I'm not saying that joy means you not feel sad though. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? But you know, it's not every day that somebody will die. Che? Huh? But you know that normally our emotions, it's as if it's like a pendulum. It keeps swinging from one end to the other based on what's happening around us. Okay? But when the joy of God comes into our life, as the Holy Spirit produces it, our emotions will no longer be like pendulum. Do you understand? It will no longer fluctuate. You get it now? Huh? Instead, our emotions will be based on the assurance that we have that the promises that God has made to us, they are true, as we are seeing them come to pass, and as we are sure they will come to pass. You understand? That's what I mean by joy. Okay? Now, because the Holy Spirit is not at work in the heart of most believers, most of the time, they are not joyful. And because also, we will not be able to reach some sides. Because if we had had enough time, I would have done an elaborate teaching on the opposite of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Of which the Lord said, that is how most Christians live. So what I will attempt to do is, as I'm teaching on the fruit, I will mention the opposite, which is the way most people who say they are born again live, particularly as they keep resisting the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, instead of this joy, what most Christians feel is depression. Amen. Why? Because they have put so much hope and so much of their emotions or emotional well-being upon circumstances. And like I always say, the wind will always be contrary. The wind will be what? Circumstances will never support the word of God. Lie. Because they are tools in the hand of the devil to fight against you. Do you remember when Jesus sent his disciples in a boat across the lake of Galilee, I think? And there was a storm. Huh? Do you notice that storm didn't start until they got to the middle? The middle of the lake. Where the same distance that they need to go all the way is the same distance if they are going back. Most of the time, circumstances don't turn against us until we're in the middle. Where it will cost you so much if you're going back. Yet, it's not costing more than if you're going forward. But because you don't see the end of the whole thing, then your emotions are tossed to and fro and battered by the wind. But blessed be God, Jesus walked upon that storm. Amen. Did he not walk upon that stormy water? Huh? Which means no matter what my problems is, what will he do? He will walk over them. Peter also walked upon that storm when Jesus told him to come. Most times, We don't experience joy because our hope, our peace, our desire is not in the things God has promised. They are in things that we can see physically. Money that somebody promised us. Something somebody said he would do for us. Those are the things that makes us excited. Those are the things that makes us happy. Happiness and joy are not the same. Happiness is in the soul. Joy is in the spirit. Amen. That's simply the difference, okay? That means if somebody buys a new phone now, you can be happy for a while. Abby? Happiness is short-lasting. Joy is long-lasting. You understand it now? People only get happy when they, you know, maybe they see things or things go their way. You understand? But you can be joyful even when everything is against you. The Holy Spirit can work out joy in you. Even when it looks like nothing is at work, nothing is working, everything is breaking down, you can be joyful. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will produce joy inside you. Does your Christianity ever give you joy? In Acts chapter 16, from verse 23 to around verse 25, that's the core scripture. But contextually around that passage, Paul and Silas, they went to preach. I think it was at Ephesus, I think. And having gone to preach, people rose up against them, arrested them, took them before the authorities, who tore their clothes. When was the last time somebody tore your clothes? You know, you can't even remember. They tore their clothes and they flogged them publicly. They flogged them so much that their backs became wounded. And they threw them into underground prison. And at midnight, no, they didn't just throw them into underground prison. They chained their legs so that they can only sit in one position. They can only sleep in that same position. But in the middle of the night, they began singing praises to God. Hallelujah. And all the other prisoners were hearing them. You know, why I don't like Lagos Christianity is because it is superficial and it will never take anybody to heaven. Where you are told you will never suffer, where you are told things will always be fine for you. So the moment things are not fine, and since you believe them, automatically what happens to you, you think something is wrong with you. Many of us can never be joyful if circumstances don't go away. And that's why we're very weak in the hands or when we are confronted with the devil. Because he knows all he just needs to do is dry up your bank account. Unless something spoils. That's all. And instantly all the spirit cocoa that you are doing will come down. That's all. In Habakkuk chapter 3, I want someone to read for me very quickly. Habakkuk 3 from 17 to 19.
Habakkuk 3:17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruits be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation.
Go ahead.
The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on my high heels.
Do you notice that verse 17 is a combination of the worst type of things in succession that can happen to a person? Farm is not yielding. Tree is not producing. Bank account, nothing, everything is just dry. Yet, what will I do? I will rejoice. Amen. I will rejoice. And I will joy in the God of my salvation. It takes control of the Holy Spirit for you to be happy when you don't have money. If there are many of you feel naked if you don't have money, may the Lord deliver you. May your emotions not change because there's no money. May it not change because there's money. In the name of Jesus. May money stop being a source of happiness to you because it's idolatry. Amen. Many years ago, almost about 10 or 15 years ago, I found out that whenever I don't have money, I'm sad and I'm irritable. And I found out that that's how unbelievers also behave. So I prayed, Lord, I don't want to be happy when I have money and I don't want to be sad when I don't have. I didn't know God answered such prayers very quickly. He answered it so sharply. Since that time up to now, if I have money, if I don't have money, you won't know. The only way you know if I have money is that maybe things I've planned I want to do, I do them. That's all. Amen. Now let me ask you a question. Do I have money now? From the way you're looking at me, do I have money? Eh? Don't I have money now? No. I didn't ask the question well. As I am now, do you think I'm broke or do you think I have money? Let me ask you. Huh? If you think I have money, raise your hand. Let me see. Raise your hand now. Because if I say now, if you think I'm broke, raise your, you will still not raise your hand. So which one? You don't even know anyone. So if you think I have money, raise your hand. That maybe I have some money now. Raise it now. Raise it very well. Okay. If you think I don't have, raise your hand. Let me see. You see what I'm saying? They didn't raise their hand though. If you don't know, raise your hand. Okay. Some people, they don't even know. Some people, they don't even know that they don't know. Amen. Praise the Lord. I won't tell you so you won't give me an offering. Amen. But with me, you can never know whether I have money or if I don't have. You will not know. Because I have been helped by God. And that should not... I was there too before, but I had to pray against it. It's a good thing. If I have God, it should be enough. Amen? But for most of us, and we know there's God though, but what must happen again? And when you count how much money you have peace of mind. Yay! May money stop being your peace of mind. You see, it's not even a real peace of mind because if you wake up in the middle of the night, where do you run to? To go and check whether the money is still there. That's not peace. Amen. Does your Christianity give you joy? In Hebrews 10 verse 34, something was said there that shocked me. You know, in the first century, when Christianity just began, the persecutions were heavy. There are times when the authorities loot even everything that the Christian has. Huh? And yet, these brothers and sisters bared it. They endured that kind of humiliation. They endured that kind of injustice joyfully. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34. Very quickly. I can't hear you.
For you had compassion of me.
For you had compassion on me.
Of me.
Of me.
In my bonds.
In my bonds.
And took joyfully the spoiling of your goods.
You are reading King James. That is the same thing that you are reading, no, but people won't get it. Please read from a simple translation. Because if you see spoiling, you wonder, okay, whether some people spoil something. No, it's not. That's not what it means. It's looting. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail. And when everything that you own was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. No, it's okay there. Sorry. Okay, read on. Don't finish there. You knew, why you accepted it with joy was because you knew that there were better things waiting for you in heaven that will last forever. Which bishop would they take his land now? And he will accept joyfully. He won't have an army of lawyers that go and defend him. We have left the Bible a long time ago. If everything you had, if it was taken from you, what would your first reaction be? Amen. But if the Holy Spirit is in you, and if it's at work in you, it will work joy. If you are walking by the word of God, you will know that you didn't bring anything into the world. And it is certain that when you die, you're not taking it. See, if they bury people with their ATM cards, by night, grave diggers will go there. They will not only dig out that dead body and collect the ATM cards, they will flog them. I'm serious. That's what they used to do because they have this superstitious belief that if they disturb somebody's resting place, the person will come back and disturb. So you flog him very well. Amen. Have you ever seen anybody that died, then they wore for him two different clothes as you know, two of his clothes? If they are allowing him to wear clothes, how many will he wear? Out of maybe he has 50. So now that they wore clothes for him to bury him, does it mean before God he will appear with that same agbada? You understand? So you should be able to live your life in such a way, if you allow the Holy Spirit to control you, it will work out joy. So that you don't hold so strongly, so tightly to anything. Some people, all you need to do is for something to happen to their property. The way they will wear that sorrow on their face. I mean, that's why I don't like watching Nigerian Christian films. Then the nurse says, go! Where is your face? As much as I serve you. Is God your watchman? Is he supposed to be your security man? Then they are always sure that they are the ones that are right and God is wrong. They are always constantly saying how much they served him. What did Jesus say when you have served him? What should you say? Even when you've done all that you are supposed to do, what should you say? You are an unprofitable servant. Then somebody that has not done anything will be making noise and saying, God, as much as I served you, what? How can this thing happen to me? Why? Because they've been taught that once you are born again, nothing bad will happen to you. It's not true. Amen? It's not what? What you are only promised is that when you pass through fire, don't worry, you won't pass through it alone. If you pass through water, I'll be there. Don't let anybody lie to you and tell you, once you have Jesus, all your problems will end. It's not true. If all your problems end, how will you grow? How will you grow spiritually? Or is it that you don't know that we grow through hard times? We go through trials and tribulations? Is your Christianity a matter of duty? A heavy chain for you to drag about like a prisoner? Or is your Christianity a musical instrument for you to dance to the tune of? Do you ever rejoice in Jesus Christ? Do you rejoice in the certainty and preciousness and beauty of his promises to you? Do you know what the joy of the Lord means? Does he ever give you joy to think that he's the same even when the fig tree does not blossom and the herd is cut off from the stall, when the harvest of the olive fail, when nothing is working? Does he ever give you joy that God remains unchangeable? How many of us will face one-tenth of what is his name? Job faced. And will still be a Christian. And would not have gone to Babalawo's house. Maybe like 6 different Babalawo. And 10 different Oli Oke. Take a spiritual attack. But the matter was just an argument between God and the devil. Was that not the matter? Wasn't it spiritual? It was just an argument. God was sure he would not betray him. Satan was sure he would betray him. So let's test it. That was what it was all about. Amen. When I was younger and I lost my elder sister, I was a youth pastor of a church at the time. Was the church Angel was attending. I don't know, where's Angel now? She just stood up now. When she comes, I'll want us to ask her. I'll ask her in your presence. So they came to greet me to, what's that word? To console me. So I was consoling them. Amen. And I had the preaching engagement the following day. So what happened? I went to preach. Angel, what happened that time that my sister died? That you people came to greet me. What happened? When you came to console me, now what happened? Who consoled who? It's not that I don't feel, no. But very early as a Christian, I learned God can never be wrong. God can what? No matter what happens to me, even if everyone I love dies, it can never be because God has done something wrong. It can never. Now, Satan needs me to blame God. And that's what people normally do when something bad happens to them. The moment you blame God, you are alienated. You're separated from him. Then Satan can be able to punish you where. Amen. I've learned that. Thank God I love my children. I love my wife. Amen. I don't love them as much as I love my God. There's nothing that will happen to me and I'll blame God. I've learned it over the years. Because God is perfect. So on my case, he will not be wrong. No. May you stop serving God for things. May you stop serving him for protection, for blessing, for favor, for mercy. May you serve God because God is worthy to be served and is worthy to be worshipped alone. For only then does he give us all of those other things, you know, protect us, make our life look good and all of those things. If he doesn't give us all of those things, we cannot go to Nigerian Senate and say we want to impeach God. It won't work. Whether you are angry or you are not angry, it's God. It doesn't change anything. No? Do you feel joy in reading the Word of God? Do you have joy in secret prayer? Just like Charles Spurgeon said, he that never mourned because of sin has never repented. But he who has never rejoiced because of forgiveness would not have seen the cross. And it's true. And it's not because you have food, you have no. But that way, if you close your eye in death now or Jesus comes now, you will not be among the rejected. It's a reason to be joyful. To know that if you will call to God, he will hear you. It's a reason to be joyful. No matter what your circumstances are. May the Lord give us peace in Jesus' name. May we allow God to produce this in us. In the name of Jesus. Remember, if you don't have it, he said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, what does he do? He cuts it off. May we not be cut off in Jesus' name. Peace, that is the third one. And that's where we'll stop today. And peace and joy are very close, even though they are two different varieties of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but they are very close. A joyful person will be peaceful, and a peaceful person will be joyful. Amen. Peace is a state of quietness. Rest. Repose, harmony, order, assurance, and confidence in the midst of strife. Peace is a state of quietness, rest, repose, harmony, order, assurance, and confidence in the midst of turmoil and strife. Isaiah 32 verse 17, Isaiah 26 verse 3. Comma. Isaiah 32:17. And Isaiah 26 verse 3, comma. It is produced by the Holy Spirit in the heart of the believer. It is produced by the Holy Spirit in the heart of the believer, whom having been reconciled with God, whom, having been reconciled with God, in bracket again, Romans 5, 1 to 2, Ephesians 2, verse 14, whom, having been reconciled with God, Romans 5, 1 to 2, Ephesians 2, 14, is assured that all things will eventually work for his good. Is assured that all things will eventually work for his good, since he loves God and is called according to divine purpose. Full stop. Romans 8:28, Philippians 4:6-7. Where did you stop? Huh? All things. Okay, let me come from Romans 5, 1 to 2. Have you gotten that? Ephesians 2, verse 14. Is assured that all things will eventually work for his good. Is assured that all things will eventually work for his good. Since he loves God and he is called according to divine purpose. And is called according to divine purpose. Amen. This peace that passes all understanding is produced by the Holy Spirit as he becomes Lord over the life of the Christian. Who produces this peace? Huh? It's the Spirit of God. Okay? It's not what you try to tell yourself, calm down, calm down. It's not self-effort. It's the one that produces it. Even, and you see, you know there are times when you are not prepared for something and God didn't tell you. And there's just an emergency and I just hear that something has happened and it's an emergency. Instead of shouting, yay, and start rolling on the floor. If it's something that is urgent and it's demanding a response from you now, calm in your spirit, calm down in your spirit, and pray this simple prayer. Holy Spirit, help me. What should I do? That's all. And instantly what you should do will be shown to you. Amen. Instead of you being, you know, bothered and worried and weeping like an unbeliever, you know. This peace that passes all understanding is produced by the Holy Spirit in the, as he becomes a Lord over the life of the Christian. Since God, who knows all things and is everywhere present and can do all things, is the same person who greatly and intensely loves him, why then should the Christian be troubled about anything when he could have gladly talked to God when he's sure he will be heard? Do you understand? If God knows all things, if he's everywhere present, huh? And if he can do all things, why should you be troubled? Do you understand? There's no basis for being afraid and all of that. Is there something that is coming that God will say, ah, and I didn't notice it's coming? No. He that keeps Israel does not sleep. He that keeps Israel does not sleep, neither does he slumber. Brethren, may the Lord give you peace. If you have not experienced it, you don't know what I'm talking about. For may it become your experience from henceforth in Jesus' name. The Bible says, you shall keep him in perfect peace. He whose heart is stayed. You will keep him in perfect peace. The person whose heart is stayed on you. The Bible says, for the work of peace. Sorry, for the work of righteousness shall be peace. For the effect of righteousness will be quietness and assurance forever. May the Lord give you peace. What makes people wake up 4 a.m. and run out is because they have no peace. And it's because they are not at peace. Even when they have gathered so much money, there is no peace, says the Lord, to the wicked. I hope you know. The opposite of peace is unrest. What's the opposite of peace? There's no rest. You can't rest in your spirit. There can't be quietness in your spirit. Why do you think superstars take drugs? Why? With all the money that they've gathered, should they not be happy? Angelina Jolie almost OD'd the other day. That means take drug overdose and is about to pass on to die. With stardom comes depression. For there's no peace to the wicked, says my God. Why did they take it? Both take all those things. That's why. To be constantly high. I know the moment you come down from that high, Satan will say, hey, welcome. Here they are. So that's why many of them are perpetually stoned. They are perpetually on drugs, and you know, so that they are just detached from reality. Ask them what is making them sad. They don't know. They can't explain it. You are thinking that if you have money, you'll be happy. It's because you have not touched money before. Amen. Some of us have. Amen. I was very young. I was just 17. I was working with a reputable firm. But when the depression comes like this, I wish I can just die so that I can stop. I've been depressed before, so I know what I'm talking about. This time will just come, just whisper to you. Maybe because something happened in the office and there's a short delay on something. You know? Just say, nobody likes you. Ah, my God. No, I can't wish it on my enemy. Ah! My heart will be so heavy. Ah! You try to do things. You know when you lose appetite? Huh? You try to maybe watch a film. You try to keep your mind off it and put your mind on something else. There'll be no appetite for them. It's just that depression. May the Lord give you peace. So when I got born again, you know, when I rededicated my life to Christ, I got born again at 13. But I backslided at 15. So go back at 17 or 18. Go back at 18. So when I gave my life to Christ, I was still working in the same company. And I started devouring the Bible. So one day something else happened in the office and I wasn't happy about it. Then that devil came again and said, why is it that nobody loves you? Why is it that when it comes to you, things just don't work? I didn't know. I acted involuntarily. I shouted in the office. Who are you talking to? If you value your freedom, leave this place now. Since whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. To the glory of God, that was the last time. Things have happened over the years that should have caused me depression. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. And I keep telling myself, my soul, return to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. If you don't know the Lord, if you are wrestling with him and you're not letting him walk in you, you can't be at peace. If people are not happy with you, you'll be depressed. I mean, when you're not a child, is it possible that everybody will be happy with you? Then you'll be trying to do the impossible. That you'll be trying to please people so that they will all be happy with you. As you are pleasing this one, you're already displeasing the other one. No, you can't have peace that way. Please God alone. Please who? Some people like you, some won't. But it's okay. I mean, what is life? So it doesn't mean anything. As he becomes Lord over your life, he produces peace in you. You're just peaceful. You are just calm. Even things that should bother you, because if the matter wants to bother you, all you need to do is pray. Lord, this issue, it's troubling me. And once you've prayed about it, what did the Bible say? And the peace of God that passes all understanding, what will he do? It will guard like a soldier. That peace will guard as if it's a soldier on guard duty. Your heart, so that your heart is not troubled. The peace of God will guard it. Amen. when we're living where we were living, when we're L-E-A-V-I-N-G, when we're living where we were L-I-V-I-N-G, you understand? When we're living where we're living, the rented apartment we're living, and they came and they said they wanted to give all the tenants quick notice. I remember I went to God and he told me that I shouldn't worry that he will help me because I don't have money for a new apartment. And I was living in a 3-bedroom flat. So that means I must have at least minimum of about 600,000 if I want to move to a new place. Okay? And I didn't have that kind of money. So I went to God. Lord, your servant has nothing. And this is what they are saying. He said, I shouldn't worry. So after a while, I heard again that, no, they are not just giving us quick notice alone. They are selling the house. Amen. So I went back again. Lord, they said they are selling this house. Lord, would they throw your servant's load out? Amen. And he spoke to me that I shouldn't worry about it. That he's handling it. Amen. So, I didn't worry about it. Then I was so peaceful, I became worried. Amen. You didn't get me. The peace of God was so much, so I was worried that maybe I'm irresponsible. You understand me now? So I went back again. Oh, Lua, I'm too peaceful. No, God is beautiful to work with, honestly. Lord, I'm too peaceful. I hope it's not that I'm being irresponsible. He said, so he now showed me this scripture that says, for he himself knew what he was about to do. So he said, on this issue, I know what I want to do. Yes, I'm the one making you to have this peace. So don't worry about it. Be careless in my care. Amen. That is, don't have no care. You understand? In the care of God. So a few days later, the landlord came and brought somebody else behind him and said, this is a new owner. Meet your new landlord. That's how he told me. Okay. So they said, okay, they are going to come and all of that. So I went to God and said, Lord, they said that they are coming. He said, let them come. He said, do you remember when you were just packing in? You know, I was about to leave now. That the landlord came at that time. So I said, I remember. He said, what happened? I said, I had paid the agent there, I think a balance of whether 100,000. And the agent had an accident and he died before he remitted the money. Okay? And from what I was hearing from the landlord, he said he didn't get any money, so I must pay that money again. Okay? And that time, the Lord told me, I said, Lord, they said they are coming tomorrow. He said, I'll be here tomorrow. You just sit down. Watch what will happen. Amen. So when he came then, that was 6 years ago at the time. When he came, he began saying, you know, he's an old soldier. He will go to the barracks and bring people. They will come and beat me out and say no manner. But he's just waiting for his new agent to come. By the time the new agent came, I've never seen him before. I don't know him. This was about 7 years ago now. And the Baba started saying those things. I brought all the receipts to show that I paid. Then the new agent said, enough. This is what we're going to do. Now, people from the dead agent's office came too. It's not that they were not there. No, the man is also unreasonable. He said, Baba, this is what we're going to do. I will give you 50,000. The office will give you 50,000. Is that all? Let's move on. We have other things to talk about. So I was looking. So he asked me, 6 years ago, what happened? I said, Lord, this and this will happen. So don't worry, you will see what I'm going to do. It is beautiful to work with God. So when they came, God did it such that I was the only tenant around. So they said they want to have a meeting with the tenants. So the only tenant has to represent all the tenants. There were like 10 of them. Estate agents, lawyers, you know, an army. Then the owner of the house. The new person that bought the house. So they said that, you know, what are they going to do now? You know, they were just talking. Then the owner said, please, sir, can you move close? And because I was standing afar off. So I moved close. And we started talking very gently, you know, saying, how can we help each other? You know, because we bought this place, there's something that we want to use it for. How can we help each other? We are on a timetable, you know, that they are even willing to help. Because I didn't know that, okay, he said that they bought the place to demolish it. That was why I stood afar. Because my thought was like, okay, there's a new owner, maybe at least they will say we should renegotiate, we should be paying more. You get. So the last thing I was expecting was that they're going to demolish our house. You know? But God knew. Amen. God did what? He knew. So when he said they were going to demolish the house, look for them, you know? I didn't even know what to say. So the man said, move close. Said that they don't need the house there. They will have to demolish it. That's what they want to do. He didn't tell me what they want to do. But that they were willing to even help people get other apartments, and they were willing to pay one full year rent to every tenant. I didn't know when I said, I have tried in Lagos, living in rented apartment. I have tried. It's the property that I would prefer to develop. That was what I just said. So he said, let me give you my phone number. That's the owner. Give me his phone. He said, please call me this night. Amen. I later found out that if you had gone ahead to discuss while people were there, you know, many of them are enemies of God. They will hinder what God wanted to do. So that night I called him. So he asked me, if I give you your 1 year rent, will it finish that place? I said, no. They can't finish it. But then you didn't owe me money. So that I even wanted to do this, I can only say thank you. So I can't even, but the truth is I can't finish it. I said, okay. But then, before I made that call, the Holy Spirit told me, since they said that they want to demolish the place, that I should ask for burglary proof. What should I ask for? So I remembered. I said, hey, sir, sorry, since me I'm not, I want to go and complete the place, can you give me burglary proof? Then the man said, sir, before God and man, whatever you want in that house, take. So I wasn't sure I had him well. You know, so I said, slates for roofing. He said, yes. All the wood for roofing. He said, yes. He said, all the doors, all the WCs, all the zinc, all the whatever you want, just take it. After I was sure I had him very, very well, I hung up the phone. Then I went to my wife, since she studied estate management. I said, this and this is what this man said. My wife said, are you sure you had him well? I said, I'm very, very sure, because I asked him more than 2 times. And that's what he said. For, remember the word God gave me? I said, may the Lord give you peace. He said one thing. He said, when I was reading through the Bible, he said, and he himself knew what he was about to do. Every time you are troubled, once you've prayed about the matter and God gives you a word, if that thing is still troubling you, go back to what God said and stay there. It will leave you alone. The word of God gives peace. What does it give? Brethren, they call me landlord today. It's weird, you know, because I don't even know how to be landlord. You know? I did not just take all of those things away from there. Even my water tank, the tank that we bought when we first moved in there, that we bought as they say, okay, we'll add it to your rent. Do you understand? So it's their own. The tank. The gates. If you know my house, if you know that gate, it's in my house. We have not yet fixed many of them, but they are all there. Everybody told me they've never had that kind of thing. Even me too, I've never had that kind of thing before. Because the man told me, you know I'm supposed to sell it. But I give you. So because I don't like troubling people. So I remember that when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, they were like them that dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And they said among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O God, like the rivers in the south. God does not need money. And he can choose to build a whole. I had a friend, they just called him and gave him the parts of a whole house. Pastor, I did. Give him the parts of a whole house. When he came to my house, he was like, I'm thankful for what God gave me, but I wish that my house is in this your street. Because now I have to go and raise my car. He was giving a whole house. I wasn't giving a whole house. I was giving materials for my house. All the doors, all the aluminium. What do you call that window? That sliding window. Everything. The burglary, everything. I pray for you that you will yield to the Lord on time. So that in your life you will know peace. Many times, babe, whenever I go to your hospital, I work for a doctor. So whenever I go, she does free blood pressure for me. You know? So she said, it's always balanced. It's always normal. I said, I have no worry. I've learned that one, if I'm supposed to worry about anything, I should just simply pray about it. If I've prayed about it, and God has given me a word on it, that's all I need. When that matter is flogging me again, I'll go back to what God said. And I will answer by what God said. May the Lord give us peace in the name of Jesus. He wants to. Honestly, he wants to. He feels very bad when we hurt. But we keep hurting because we want to remain independent. You understand? The moment you are dependent on him, in my few years of being a Christian, I have seen miracles upon miracles. I've seen things that, I mean, how do you explain somebody to two people paying 100,000 that they didn't owe? And the person they say is owing is sitting down there. He didn't beg that, please, owe Joe. They better tell the Bible, son, no. He didn't beg. How do you explain that? When I just moved in, then he did that now again when I was leaving. May your testimonies be full in Jesus' name. May the Lord be free to do for you what he wants to do for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. We'll pray, then we'll ask our questions before we close. We learned today fruits or varieties of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, and peace. When we come tomorrow, as we wrap up tomorrow, we will be looking at the other six that remain. And as I teach, I'll attempt to put in the opposites. Okay, of those things, which is actually how we live today. And that's why we struggle and, you know, all of those type of things happen to us. May the love, the peace, and the joy of God perpetually remain with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Please let us ask our questions now. Then we can be preparing to go home. Yes, ma'am.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Pastor, you said concerning the money, we are saying that maybe a situation where you have a business, this means the way you said, I understand. But what about if you have things like school fees to pay, your rent, you know, you have debt to settle? How do you relate it to God?
A round of applause. God does not want us to worry about anything. When I started out as a Christian, some of the things, and I will advise you to do that same thing. Okay? One of the earliest Bible studies I did, and over the years, a Bible study I constantly do, is about the person and nature of God. Who is he? What does he have? How powerful is he? Do you understand? Once he told me, he said, you doubt me because you don't know me. You can never know me and doubt me. But because you don't know me, that's why you're that. So I'll forgive you since you don't know. If I have school fees to pay, I have rent to pay, what should I do? Many of us, the problem with us is that, first of all, we are not completely dependent. We depend upon the jobs or businesses that we are doing. And it is wrong. Thank God for those businesses. God may choose to bless us through them. And he may choose not to. Okay? It may come from a place that you just wonder, but how? How come? Okay? Let me give you an example. I'll try and wrap up on time so that other people can ask their question. I gave somebody money to do new aluminium windows for me. Okay, because part of the design in that house, there are portions of it that there are some windows that the windows that we brought will not fit because they are larger, so I need to fabricate them. He said it was 34,000 or so. I gave him 27,000. Up to today, he has not brought window or money. Okay? But that's not where I'm going. When the rain started, the place I want to put it in, there will be rain. When the rain started, rain was coming in. Then I had to struggle to hold the curtain and all of that. And one day the rain was so much that, of course, it removed the whole curtain that was there. And I began to get angry that I paid somebody for this thing. Water is entering into my house, and this is happening. I need to just get this guy arrested, let them deal with him. And I had the Lord say to me, do not avenge yourself. I want to punish him. If you go ahead and punish him, you are blocking me. So leave him. I said, Lord, you say I should leave him. See window. Then he said to me, the Lord is able to give you much more than what you have lost. Because I know him. So okay. My sister, that same week, even if I say, okay, I'm working for some people, I'm expecting that they will pay me, the money wasn't due for another 3 weeks and the rains have started. That same week, my sister, who is based in the UK, just suddenly called me about 2 days after God said that thing, and he made sure it didn't rain. Meanwhile, it never rained this year until God provided that money. Shaggy, you remember now? The money that was given to that boy. It never rained since we've been living there. So, just called me and said it was urgent. What is it? Are you okay? This is fine. That she sent my bank details. Why? She just sensed that she should send me money. The money she sent me was more than enough to do the window. Now, but the other side I didn't say is this. I asked her, what then should I do? He told me, he said, break the walls more, put a block in between, so it becomes the size of the windows you brought. You have windows. Oh, okay. So the exam money I needed to do all of that was what was sent. Now, if I had to depend on my own income, which would be 3-4 weeks away, so you know, and let's say they finish making that thing today, tomorrow they kind of rain that rained. Now we'll have carry all of us and go. You know. So what we do is, number one, learn to depend wholly on God. And I always say it this way. I'm not saying depend on God for things you can't do. Even things you think you can do, depend on God. E.g., if you want to cook when you get home today, Holy Spirit, please come and help me cook. You will see that it will be different from the way you used to cook. I don't care how good you think you are. God is perfect, so that food will just simply be perfect. Now, when you are learning like that, it will be easy for you to apply to other things. Because most times, we only wait for things that we can't handle. Then in the same way, you have school fees, you have house rent. God, whom I know, because I lived in a rented apartment too, at least for some couple of years, at least 6 years. You understand? He will always make provision, particularly if you make it a point of duty to pray about it before time. Most of the time, we don't pray about it before time. We would have settled in our mind, business, rent in law. So God will disappoint you. It will show you that you don't trust people. Starting from yourself. That it's only God that is constant and consistent. Okay? So before time for school fees, time for house rent comes at all, start telling me, Baba, I remember one particular year that I diverted money that Baba sent as house rent. Oh my God. It was 2015. I saw him wear that year. When I was saying, oh Lord, why is everything dry? I said, Very early in the year, I sent more than that amount. I now look back. Yeah. So that was the provision. What a loje. God. It was not a good year. I later paid though, but it was struggle. And even in that, I found out that God was faithful. Honestly, was faithful. Because he had sent that money long before. I had gotten a job, or just a single job, that will clear house rent, and at the same time, we'll be able to buy food and put in the house. We ate everything. Okay? So, long before that time, talk to God about it. Whenever, as it's coming close, and the devil is making your heart to shake, you say, Baba, I remember I've told you about the house rent. I'm thankful to you because I know I can depend on you. That's all. And when that time comes, he will pay. If I'm summarizing it, I'll simply say, put the bills on God. Learn to put your bills on him. Even bills that you think you can pay. NEPA bill, 1,000, 500. Put it, even when you think you have, put it on him. He won't go bankrupt because you are putting it on him. No. He supports the whole world and the whole universe. So how much is just a single world? How much can, what can just Earth do when there are billions of planets? Amen. And there are literally numberless angels. And if you think they don't eat, the Bible says men eat, men eat angels' food, so they eat. Okay? That's how to handle things like that. Questions? 2015. I have to repent. Yes, quickly. We want to make sure we close on time.
Maybe something happened to you, and
is it maybe? Because you are saying maybe something happened to me.
Okay, something happened to you, like what you were saying the other time, that you don't need to cry or weep like that. What you need to do is just to like ask God that. What should I do?
Okay, go ahead. Just go ahead first.
My question there is that probably you lost someone very close to you. The weeping or the crying at that moment, is it wrong?
It is in the nature of women to cry when they lose somebody. So there's nothing wrong with crying.
But you are
That's
saying...
not what I'm talking about. You didn't get me well. Okay? I wasn't talking about if somebody dies.
I'm just using that.
There's nothing wrong. If somebody dies... cry. Sometimes it's good to cry so that you get it over with. Okay? There's nothing wrong. It's good to cry when people die. Eh? Bra Benga. I was talking about emergencies, not death. Okay? Emergency when you become confused and you don't know what to do. That's what I was talking about.
My question is going to be on peace. You see, I don't know how you are going to help me to explain this.
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. That should we, because of the peace of Holy Spirit in us now, then be negligent on some things. Now, according to one question that said, you have some bills to pay, and you know there are some ways you can also at least go and do some things to fetch some of this money. And you are like, the money is coming from somewhere. And so some of us like me, I don't believe that anybody is here to help me. If I can't believe in your own effort, yes, to our next thing.
Okay.
So now if I now begin to see it, whereas I have work I do, and I can also think of do other things.
Let me cut you, because I understand what you're saying. Let me cut you. The Bible says, cursed is a man that trusts in man and make flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. You think you are strong. I was stronger than you. If you are listening, I understand what you are saying. It's not that you want to pay bills and you already have things that you're doing that can pay the bills. Isn't that what you're saying?
Maybe the work and bills don't go and I have other insight of doing other things.
That's what you are saying now. Am I saying something different?
So I now stick to this thing that Elaine Roman social mamu yewa. Till they were how to go to other thing.
First of all, you are not in this world to look for food or to pay bills. You are in this world to fulfill your life's purpose. That's how most people don't know. Think you are here, and of course, the moment you are paying bills, you are sending children to school. People think that sending children to school is training children. And that because you're able to pay heavily on school fees, then they say, I sent you to school. Men say those things. No, you are here to fulfill the reason why you were born. And many times, in a bid to pay your bills, you neglect what you should be doing. Huh? And you enter into the office of God. Because it's God that takes care of us. Huh? You enter into the office of God to begin to do the things that God would have gladly done for you. Did I say don't walk? Is that what I'm saying? No. Did I say don't use your initiative? No. But pray about how many things? Okay, what if you become sick? Or those your new ideas didn't work? Because I've been there before. I started working at 17. And I retired at 27. And I retired as assistant general manager to a company. Do you understand? I was so young and I had so much money that most of the time I don't know what to do with it. Because it's too much. My salary is there. Jobs will come in. Imagine somebody that got a job, employed you, then will share the money half-half with you. I'm the one that got the job. That's what I used to do. Because I have more than enough. So what is there? But when the Lord was going to begin to help me, he started shutting those doors. I used to have so much faith in myself. Because I know I can negotiate well. I know I'm intelligent. You understand? And I know I can speak well. And I know my work is good. That's what I'm telling you. Where you are, I've been there before. And I saw Baba shutting the doors. And he told me, I'm the one closing doors against you. Let me see who opened it. Have you been there before? Maybe it's because the things you are doing, people are paying you. What if you work, and all the ones they didn't pay you have been there before? And for 3-4 months, you are hungry. Pepper on rice will look like meat. I've been there before. Do you understand? You young people used to think that you are so strong, you are smart. You are not smart. Though. It's working only because God is allowing it. If you want to be more serious with God, He will teach you to become more dependent on Him. I've gotten to a stage in my life where I don't trust people. The kind of trust I used to put in people. I don't. Not anymore. Because in just 1 month, I could have 3-4 other jobs apart from my normal stable salary. So the amount, 200,000, 300,000. I'm saying 10, 15 years ago. 300,000. That's what I have. I enter. When I finally moved home, I eat my lunch in an eatery with ice cream as dessert every day. They knew me already. So I would say, God, this one that I'm meeting, I'm not fasting. So don't worry. Continue. Fasting is coming. Oh, when it came. Learn to trust in God. Learn to depend on Him, even for what you think you know how to do. That you worked. If you're under God's control, does that mean that you have worked, that the money you've worked for and you got is meant to pay your bills? The answer is no. If He is Lord, who does the money belong to? If you say it's Lord, who does it belong to? Is it you? Huh? Speak up now. Benga, you're not speaking again. If it belongs to God and you want to go and carry it to pay bill, have you not offended? I don't care how urgent they are. We put human laws above the law of God. They say jam. Yeah, jam form. It will close by Friday. Is it not the human being that said it will close? Is it God that said it to close? Who is it that says and it come to pass if God has not commanded it? The bills are urgent. The neighbor will come. They will call the light. See, I have been in a house. That's my rented apartment. And Baba, the prayer of Baba was not bringing money. Check me, remember now. Oluwa, what are we going to do? You have not brought us money so that we can pay NEPA bill for 3 months. How many months? They will come. Whether they don't see the house, I don't know. They will come. They will pass. And when he made provision, we went to pay for everything. Was my light cut? Yet, have I not been there at times where the light was cut for 4 months? And I was in darkness for 3 months? Have you been in darkness for a month before? Huh? So, thank God that you have strength. Thank God that you have strategies. They're only working because Baba is allowing you. Huh? If he wants to be more serious with you, the first thing he wants to do is that you should become more dependent on Him. Even as good as you are, as intelligent as you are, to know that it is Him that you need. You know you think you are doing well. Say you know you think you are doing well now. You know you think you are doing well. If He wants to help you, just a call. How many calls? One phone call. You get job in millions of naira. Just not Not an interview, just a phone call. They won't even interview you. But before it brings you to that level, have you gone to that point where you will trust him for all things? Huh? When he says leave something, will you be ready to leave it? People have owed me money before, in tune of millions, and I've left it. So, when we are talking about things like this, many of us that are young, because we are agile, and what's there? Let's use our brain. It's because God is allowing you to ask, Brother Joshua. At least, if I know a pusher, apart from me, I know Joshua too can push. Ask him when God closed the doors. You can't open it if he closes the door. And it's just to teach you a lesson. You know that lesson? That it has been working for you because he allowed it to work for you. That because you were younger, you didn't know. Doesn't now mean that now that you are older, you should not know. Do you understand? So nobody is saying don't work. Nobody is saying don't use your brain. But I'm telling you, the reason why it's working is because God allowed it to be so. You could work and work and people will owe you. The money I said, somebody owed me and I left. Somebody has been owing me 70,000 in the last 2 years. He has not been able to pay. What's going to happen to the money? Some of us, if you are owed 15,000, you know you died there. It's not because I have, it's not that I have. But it doesn't matter, what are you going to do? There are other people like that. What are you going to do? You understand? So it's not that, but what if I can do this? There's nothing wrong with being hardworking. But my prayer is that you will not be using the time that is meant for your work with God or for the fulfillment of your purpose to be running up and down in order to pay bills. Because we serve God, but He takes care of our needs. We work to help other people who are weak. Do you understand? Because God pays our own bills. And for me, that's a good way to live. Okay? Is there any other question before we close? Yes, Brother Mike.
I just want to ask this question. Let's assume that I want to go to my working place in the morning and I have just 500 with me. Of course, Bible made us to understand that we should love our neighbors just exactly we love ourselves. And I have this, maybe probably a friend or neighbor who walked up to me and start telling me that, oh, bro, Mike, please, my children have not eaten since yesterday and I myself, I want to go to work and I just need like 500 naira. So in that case, what should I do?
Well, it's a clear question. You will do whatever the Holy Spirit asks you to do. You don't give them anything. He may. Because he's God and he's the one that knows all things. Okay? He may say give him out of that money. He may tell you give him all the money. Do you understand? So you just simply do whatever he asks you to do. Okay? Now, let's assume you give him all the money. If you are somebody whose walk with God is genuine and is deep, he may tell you, go to the bus stop, you'll get to work. Because he's not a liar. It will be that just when you are getting to the bus stop, he might tell you to enter a bus that you don't know anybody inside. Eh? He might bring a car of somebody that used to know you before, that just passing, he's the one that will see you and be honey and call you. That I will carry you to anywhere so that we can just talk. It could be that. He told me once, said, for every prayer point, I have over 1 billion ways to answer you for one single prayer point. So you just simply do whatever he asks you to do. That's why, and leave it there. He may say, don't give them because they may be enemies of God. If you give them, he will punish you. So it's not just that, it's not just that. You have to search your spirit, whether he's asking you to give. If he's asking you to give, why not? You give. I've given people money before because they were carrying themselves in the bus. And they took the money. If it was food, I won't mind. That means they're hungry. Handband. Hi, Jesus. I felt like crying. It wasn't that the money was much. But I felt terrible because I was not sensitive. They brought the handband and they wore it in my presence there. Amen. Handbag. Can you eat that one? If it is food you bought, honestly, I won't have any problem. Maybe you don't have, handband. I don't even wear handband. So that you don't give and you are asking for forgiveness after you gave. You understand? But whatever comes to your heart to do, that's what you should do. Give him up. Sir, this all I have is also 500 though. I can do 200. I can do 300. Or if God says give him everything, I give him everything. That's all. Is there any other question? Yes, Sister Moji.
Sir, when you're asking God for something, is it possible sometimes that you don't get a word?
I don't get a word. And sometimes you may not get a word. But never take God's silence as a consent. Okay? If you don't get a word, be patient. Do you understand? Be patient. After a while, ask again. You understand? So you may get a yes, a no, or a wait. But if you haven't heard him say anything, don't take a position. It could also be a test. To see whether you'll be patient and you'll be willing to wait all the way for God. But don't take a position if you have not heard from him. Is there any other question? 2 o'clock is our destination.
Sir, at the end of the month, you get your salary.
Yes.
And there's no urgent need.
And there's no urgent need.
Need or
okay.
Bills to pay. How do you spend it?
Okay. Very good question. Don't you think so? Maybe you're living with your parents and you're not paying house rent, you're not paying any bill, you're not paying any bill. You know? And now there's more money. What should you do? Okay? I will ask you to learn, when we have excess, what we do is put it aside. Do you understand? We don't accumulate money. Okay? Why we are putting it aside is, if God is not giving an immediate answer, or we have not learned to ask, Lord, what do you want me to use this money for? He may tell you that this period that I'm letting you walk now, it is because I want you to put some money aside that you can use to help your parents for your studies. It could be that. It could be that there's a brother or a sister somewhere whom I want to give something to. Whom I want to give something to. You understand? And what will happen? Then you can take out of it and give to that person. But we don't accumulate so that we can start feeling happy that, soul, we have so many laid up for many years. No. A Christian doesn't do that. Okay? Knowing that the money in your hand is not your own, we put it aside. If you then say, okay, well, I want you to, I've seen people, they will have money. And because they want to go and buy clothes, since they have money, what would they do? Huh? They go and buy clothes, no? When you are growing, even when you have money, before you take out of it, what will you do? You will ask him. He may tell you that you have not been giving money to your parents. Because you feel, why should I give them money? They have more than me now. They are taking care of me. But it may be because he wants to bless you. He wants them to pray blessings into your life. You understand? So you take from it and you give them. Maybe every month there's an amount you give to them. It could be that. But anyhow, it tells you to manage it. That's what you do. Once you have excess, don't waste it. That means don't be spending above what you need. Put it aside. But know from the very beginning that even your life, your money, everything belongs to who? To God. That way, you can hold so much in trust for God. If money is not your own, can you be boastful that you have money? It is when it's your own that you have problem. If it's not your own, you don't have any problem. You are still the same. You still reason normally. You understand? And that's why a lot of people miss it. They think that it is their own, but they forget that their health is not their own. Their mental sanity is not their own. That they are alive. They are not the ones sustaining themselves. It belongs to God. Okay? That's how to handle it. Is there any other question?
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on
00
0804-830-580-080-813-83-8536-0807-455-8177-0814-099-1321 or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life?